Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Midweek Mom Talk on 360 Talk Radio for Women. I'm Dr. Jackie, the owner and founder of Motion Spot LLC and Motion Spot Pediatrics, where we provide occupational, physical, and speech therapies for adults, children, and families. On today's episode, I want to talk about reaching our goals, setting goals, reaching them, and what happens if we change our minds, because that is definitely a possibility when it comes to goals, especially work-related goals, business-related goals, anything professional like that. There is a lot of change that might happen, a lot of ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and some people might think of versions of this as failure, but I want you to start thinking about it differently. Consider changing course as not a failure, but a realization and a shift. But ultimately, you're still trying to reach the same goal. The end goal is the same. You've just realized that you need to go about things a little bit differently, and that is perfectly okay. I started thinking about this a couple of days ago. Really just randomly popped into my head during bath time, and I asked my husband if he thinks I'll always be kind of chasing new, bigger goals in my business, or if at some point I'll say, all right, you know, I hit these, let's just say, 5 main goals that I've had, and now I'm satisfied, and now I can kind of just maintain instead of always looking for that next new thing. And his response was that he thinks I'll always have some type of goal that I'll be working on, but the size or the extreme of it, you know, should change or will change and will kind of fluctuate based on where I am in my business at that moment. And so that made me kind of start to think back to how I started, where I started, and why I started. And so I'm going to take you through the journey of my experience with my business from start till where I am now and where I hope to go from here. And hopefully my story can help you, or maybe you can relate to it in some aspect of your life. So I'll take you all the way back to the beginning. I first started kind of loosely thinking about business in grad school during a business-related course that we had to take. And at that time, I was thinking maybe I would have some sort of a gym-styled facility, run a few classes, train some fitness clients, and work with sports rehab and other orthopedic patients as far as my OT degree went. And interestingly enough, part of the course was to think about the finances of running a business. So I decided in my imaginary business for this class to start out of my home so that there would be a significantly lower overhead cost, and then move to a facility once I had some clients in my Rolodex, so to speak. So anyway, 2 or 3 years later, I was starting to get kind of frustrated with what I was seeing in the field, and I declared that I want my own practice within 5 years. And I remembered my original idea from grad school about incorporating fitness and group classes. But so at this point, I was thinking I wanted an outpatient clinic more so than a gym-styled facility. I think really because the outpatient clinic setup was also the only real style of occupational therapy practice and business that I knew at this point. If you were an outpatient OT, you worked in orthopedics, this is the standard setting. So while I was starting to dream about my practice, social media was really taking off, and I was also getting more involved with nutrition. And so I started my first business venture with Arbonne focusing primarily on their nutrition line, vitamins, supplements, things like that. And this was when I got interested in the online space. I began working with a couple of clients virtually, helping them with fitness and nutritional management and guidance. And that was around May of 2019. And by November, I started reading a lot of business books, listening to personal development podcasts, and truly trying to figure out what the next steps were to having my OT practice. At this point, I knew I wanted my OT business, but I also was nervous because I didn't know the legal ins and outs. Not that I'm an expert now, but I have at least somewhat of a better understanding. So I decided that it would be better to set things up while trying to build clients, as opposed to getting clients first and then kind of figuring things out and setting things up. So in February of 2020, I formed my LLC, Motion Spot LLC. I made my first business cards. I was getting really excited, and then COVID came. Of course, right? A classic tale. I will say, at first, it definitely felt like a roadblock. I was getting a lot of momentum through February and into March, but by mid-March, there was this sense of urgency on my part related to business, because I knew that everything could shut down at any moment. And I think that created a sense of uncertainty from potential clients as well, and rightfully so. But luckily, at least for me, it kind of ended up working out in my favor a bit, because telehealth became more popular and turned into a legitimate means of providing services. So I ran a few group fitness classes and worked with a couple of private clients virtually. Before COVID, when I was telling people I wanted to work with clients virtually, I wanted to work with them online, I had that right idea. I wanted to be able to reach people, you know, kind of far and wide, but that wasn't as common. That wasn't as well known of a method of providing services. And so I was getting questioned by people like, you know, why would I work with somebody virtually when I can pay the same money to work with somebody in person and get that in-person feel? But in my idea, being able to see people online, I could see people no matter where they lived. They wouldn't have to leave the house to have an appointment with me, and I'd be able to work with them that way. Especially with something like fitness training or nutritional management, I don't necessarily need to be with the person physically, right? A lot of people take virtual fitness classes, and that was pre-COVID too. There are a lot of fitness videos people watch online where the person is just watching a pre-recorded video, right? Whereas a virtual fitness trainer that you're seeing one-on-one just virtually, they are there with you live, so they can give you feedback, which a pre-recorded video would not give you. So some people, I would say, back pre-COVID, didn't fully understand, I guess, the picture that I was trying to paint. But since COVID, it became really the, I don't know if primary is totally accurate, but it became a key method of providing various healthcare services. So then people weren't like, oh, what, you're doing it virtually? Like, people weren't confused by it. And during that time, there became different regulations in place that telehealth was allowed under practicing licenses. So there, you know, every state kind of has its own rules, and every insurance company then has its own rules, but Medicare made it approved that virtual occupational therapy, physical therapy would be covered under, you know, their scope of practice. So that was a big deal, because before COVID, if you were to see someone virtually, and again, I don't know how many people actually did, but if you had virtual clients, I'm almost positive that you weren't allowed to call it like officially occupational therapy or officially physical therapy. It would have to have been called coaching. And nowadays, post-COVID, you have to again look through, you know, the state regulations and look at your individual licenses and, you know, different insurance companies to see what's allowed and what's not. But virtual services are more commonly allowed now than they were pre-COVID without calling it coaching. That's not true of everything. I know, like for speech therapy, telehealth speech is not allowed as an official means of providing speech. That would have to be considered coaching, or, you know, it would have to be a cash-based service. Like, you can't charge insurance for that. But anyway, so that's what was happening with my business COVID time as far as the in-person turned virtual. And then I got pregnant with my son. This was technically, I think, mid-March is when, like, the day that everything shut down is my first day, or was my first day of gestation, so with my son. So that was good timing. Of course, I didn't find out for, you know, about a month or so later. But anyway, so I got pregnant, and that is really when everything changed. Up until this point, up until finding out I was pregnant, I was kind of just dabbling in business. Yes, I had a few moments where I had some momentum, I had interest, I had clients, you know, I had a few different things that I was working on, but I really wasn't sure what I was doing. I wasn't sure exactly which direction I was going in, and I definitely did not know how I was going to get anywhere. I just knew I wanted to work for myself. During all this time, I was also getting my doctorate and working on the research behind my board game. And then through my pregnancy and into my son's first year of life is when I was really trying to create the board game and push that out. It's still in production, so we're still working on it. But anyway, once I got pregnant, I also realized I wanted to work for myself, yes, but simultaneously, I also wanted to be able to primarily stay home with my baby. So telehealth really seemed to be the only way that that would be possible. So a quick pause here. I hope you're seeing or starting to see how the business model idea has already changed three times. It went from a gym style to private clinic to now telehealth. And these three changes happened within, you can say, 1 to 2 years. I think that business course was towards the end of my graduate school program. And again, that was really just a brainstorming type of situation. But even from there, if you look at when I started really seriously thinking about business, the model in truly less than a year, in just a couple of months, already changed twice. But the business model wasn't the only thing that changed for me. My pregnancy opened my eyes to the world of perinatal care. Prenatal and postnatal health for women is, we can say, slim. Pregnancy focuses primarily on the baby, as it should, really. The baby is the main priority there. Not that the mom is not important, I'm just saying the baby is the priority. And postpartum, there is one visit for the mother 6 weeks after delivery. But that's basically it. Doctors aren't helping with the back pain, the sciatic pain, the hip discomfort, incontinence, carpal tunnel, diastasis, prolapse, all of these other things that can come along with pregnancy and postpartum, you have to specifically ask your doctor about. And many times you'll get a generic, non-urgent response. And if you want further care, you need to ask them for a referral. They might not give it to you on their own, right? Maybe they'll say, oh, go get, you know, pelvic floor work, or go see PT, you go see OT, but they won't actually give you a person to see or a number to call. Or if they, you know, don't say anything at all, you have to basically find everything yourself. The information almost feels like it is hidden. And like I said, if you bring these up to your OBGYN, you kind of get blown off. It's kind of like a poo-pooed response. Like, I've gotten people tell me that their doctor said something to them along the lines of, oh, like, you're pregnant, you know, what do you expect? That kind of thing. Like, oh, of course your hips are going to hurt, you're pregnant. Of course this happens, you're pregnant. Like, what else are you expecting to happen? Or, yeah, you're postpartum, like, things get all moved around and funky during this time, you know? Do some Kegels. And like I said, maybe the doctor on occasion would say, oh, look into pelvic floor therapy. But again, that's pretty much it. That was where it gets left oftentimes. It was left at that. Meanwhile, when my hips and tailbone started to hurt and get very sore, I remember with my son, I had a hard time sitting down because my tailbone would instantly have like this shooting pain. But what was even worse than the sit down was the stand up. When I stood up, any pressure that was kind of holding my tailbone together would be gone. And there was just this like rushing pain up my spine and through my hips, right? So I didn't know this would happen before I got pregnant. But because I have an orthopedic background, I was able to kind of help myself because of that knowledge and my OT experience. So I used this knowledge to also help a few ladies out while I was pregnant. I sent them exercise videos and messages with instructions. And this was when I knew I wanted to work in women's health. I wanted to work with women through pregnancy into postpartum and into their child's early development. So I knew I really wanted to have a focus on maternal health. So another side note here. Did my original business idea fail, working more so in that sports rehab and fitness population? No, not really. I wouldn't say that it failed. I don't think I really tried it long and true enough to have it fail. But I saw a different need for my skill set, and I found a different passion area that still maintained my skills in orthopedics and fitness. So really what happened was that my business just shifted focus a little bit. My main population that I was treating shifted. Now, when I say my main population, I mean, when I was first thinking about business, I'm an OT, we all know that. And I knew I wanted to help a lot of people, but I had experience in a lot of different areas. I loved sports and fitness, so that's why I wanted to go into sports rehab. But I was also working in hand therapy, so I didn't want to stop working in hand therapy, especially as an OT. Hand therapy is kind of a more prestigious area that not a lot of people have experience with, and it's a bit more specific. But I also love babies. I love working with kids. So I had a hard time honing in on one population area. And you know what they say, when you are, you know, trying to reach everyone, you reach no one. So that's what I felt like I was doing, because I didn't want anyone to feel like I was excluding them. You know, if somebody was looking for a person to help them with their thumb injury, I didn't want them to, you know, see my name and say like, oh, Dr. Jackie, no, she works with soccer players after they got injured. I'm not a soccer player, right? Like, I hurt my thumb. So I wanted to have everybody know, like, oh, I can, you know, help you with your knee injury and I can help you with your thumb. But that's just not how business marketing works. So until I was able to grow a client base, I really had to focus on one main area that I wanted to work with, one main group of people. And so I decided to make that focus women's health. Okay, from there, from deciding I'm working in women's health, I realized I can incorporate pediatrics because the women that I'm working with are pregnant or newly postpartum, so they have kids, right? So that's a very easy transition, and it still makes sense. It's not totally random, right? So I put those two together. And then after about a year or so, I was going through various conferences and having conversations with a lot of different people. I have friends who are OTs who were looking for opportunities, friends who are in other areas of healthcare, just other areas of work altogether, who I was connecting with various opportunities. And I realized I love helping people find jobs. And from there is when I decided to open up my agency. So it's still the same name. It's still Motion Spot LLC, but now it also has an agency component where I can hire people. I can hire therapists, give them jobs, give them opportunities, and also continue to reach more people, more clients in that way. So my business evolved yet again. Okay, so third pause here. My business idea started as a gym style facility, right? Then we moved into, okay, now this is serious. I'm really going for it. The only thing I know is outpatient style clinic, so I guess I'll do that, right? Then COVID came. And I guess a little bit before COVID came is when I had the idea, if you're really going back, if you're really listening and paying attention. But in general, COVID came, telehealth. Right now, my business is all virtual. And I'll add it was virtual and primarily cash-based. So I was not taking insurance or anything like that. I was working with clients and they were paying me cash, right? Cash-based, payment style. I would provide super bills for out-of-network potential reimbursement if they requested it or, you know, whatever. Anyway, so from telehealth and working with various people, some sports people, you know, some fitness clients, hand clients, a pediatric case or two, I was kind of all over the place. From there, we focused on women's health, focused on maternal health. And at this point, it started out as still being virtual, primarily. That was 2021, okay, is when I did that. Then I started the agency portion of my business, and I started working on that in 2022. So a year after I had already adapted my business or adjusted my business, you can say, I expanded it to incorporate another area that I realized I loved, which was connecting people with jobs, right? So that's where I created that agency. From creating the agency, I opened up a whole new opportunity, which is school-based pediatrics. And now it feels a little bit random, right? Because I was working in women's health primarily, and I still am working in orthopedics primarily. Me as Dr. Jackie, I work in orthopedics. I do hands-on with orthopedics. But because I created this agency, I was then able to get into school-based pediatrics, and that's where I hire people. That's where I connect people with jobs. Okay? So now I'm able to incorporate pediatrics into kind of this separate area of my business. So I still love that I'm able to help kids. I'm just not helping them as directly. I connect other therapists to these cases. So, oh, and I now take insurance, right? Because I created that agency, I got into the school setting, but we have some private schools as well. So, and we see some home cases now through my agency. And so I decided to take insurance, accept insurance, so that we can help as many families as possible. So this last portion of my business where it is right now was completely not something that I was thinking about when the original idea began. It was really, if you asked me like a year ago, if I was going to take insurance, if I was going to work in school-based pediatrics, I would probably have told you no, right? Maybe I would have said, yeah, you know, I'll do the school-based pediatrics thing because, you know, I want to connect people with jobs so I can create that agency. But that next component of then accepting insurance to do private, like, home care cases and private school cases, I was not thinking about that as being an option. More so because my focus and my specialty is orthopedics, right? But the point that I'm trying to get across here is that where your business goes, or really any of your professional career, any part of your life, really, where it goes, you might not be thinking about it right now. You might not know where you're going. You might not know where it's all going to end up. Okay, so if you're kind of thinking like, well, what am I doing? Start with what you know and then see, you know, what might evolve, what might change. See where your vision grows. See which connections you might form and see which passions you might develop. I didn't know that I would have such a love for women's health, for maternal health and wellness until I became a mom myself. So I knew I wanted a business, right? But I didn't know the population base that I would be working with until I felt that connection to it. So just because you don't know what exactly it is that you maybe want to do or can do, you don't know exactly how you are gonna end up, but you know you want to do something, right? You know you have to change something or you're not satisfied with whatever it is that you're in right now. It's okay to start thinking about creating a change. And from that change, hopefully, right, you're gonna start that journey, and that journey will lead you to where you are supposed to be, is basically what I'm trying to say. And what's incredible about entrepreneurship, especially, is that my business can continue to evolve, continue to change. I can keep growing and adjusting and altering, you know, as much as I want to, really. But while, you know, maintaining my main purpose and my main goals, but as my passions change or my interests area change, I can either add, you know, a totally new branch to the business, or I can change what I'm doing currently if I really want to. I don't have any intentions of doing that, but I am working on my board game still and on my parenting courses still to give just a couple of different options for how parents and our families can work with me. My board game is just a completely separate thing just for my doctoral research, right? But there are a lot of different components, as you can see, to my one business. And I didn't know that any of that would happen. I wasn't expecting any of these branches to pop up from my one idea, from my one dream, you can say, of working for myself, of having my own business, of being a business owner. And that is exciting. That's awesome. So again, my point of saying is, if you are worried to start something or to change something because you don't know where it might lead, that's silly. You should start something or do something because you don't know where it could lead. It could lead to amazing things. And if it doesn't, it's better to have tried and realized that it was not for you,
than to live your life wondering, what if? What if I tried it and what if it worked, right? You don't want to live with that what if mindset. It is always, okay, I don't want to say always, you know me, I'm not an all or nothing person. It is almost always, it is often better to have that definitive answer of yes or no over wondering and being stuck in the what ifs. With my board game that I just mentioned, it's been a long process. It's taking a lot longer than I anticipated. I originally had a goal of it being done by end of 2021, and obviously that didn't work out. It's still in the manufacturing, I guess, stages. Then my more recent goal was to have it done before my daughter was born. Obviously that didn't happen either. And then once I was getting towards the end of my pregnancy and I knew it wasn't happening, I told myself, it's fine, like there is no rush. It can happen whenever it happens. But now my printer guy has had various things come up and that whatever the reasons that were delayed are not important. But I want it to be done because I want this unknown to become known. Right now, I am sitting in the will it work, won't it work? And I just need to know. I need to know if this game is going to succeed or not so I can move on. Because while it's still being manufactured, and again, this has been a very long process that keeps getting drawn out, I am stuck in those what ifs. And I hate that. I'd rather it just be done, be printed. I did my best, right? I put everything together and I take it from there. If it sells, great. If not, at least now I know. At least I know my game was a good idea, but just, you know, for whatever reason, didn't work out. Maybe it's going to be that it's truly only good for therapists, occupational therapists. Maybe it's only going to be good for teachers in a classroom. Maybe it's not going to be good in those educational environments and will only be fun for families at home. Or maybe other people will just find it boring and I only think it's fun because I made it, right? Who knows? I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I am trying. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to go for it, right? I am going for it and we'll see how it goes. Instead of being afraid of it failing, being afraid that it might not sell, that it might not succeed, I'm giving it a try. Because why not, right? What do I have to lose? I guess a couple $1,000s, which is not small money by any means. But I would rather invest those couple thousand into this idea, into this game, and hopefully get that return, if not more, instead of using the couple thousand for something else and then just always wondering if this game would succeed. So that is my entire business story from the start to where I am right now. And as you've heard, the idea of my business has evolved, has changed multiple times. The actual business itself, once it was created, has changed a couple of times, and I've made necessary adjustments or alterations, you can say, right, as needed to help move the business forward. Now, I don't consider myself to be a business coach. Just because you have a business doesn't mean you are a coach, right? But I want you all to just realize that anything in life, it's not a linear path, right? There is no clear straight line to the finish. Things ebb and flow, up and down, come and go. There are always going to be curveballs and turns that come up ahead, but that fear shouldn't prevent you from doing things, from taking chances that you want to take, right? I'm not saying be huge, risky gamblers, But if you're taking, you know, a safe bet, I don't know if there is such a thing as a safe bet. Maybe it's just an oxymoron type of statement. But I hope you are getting an idea of what I mean here, that you can make those educated decisions, even if they feel a bit risky, going for it and adjusting as needed, or perhaps deciding to stop altogether, is going to be a better feeling. It's going to make you just have better mindset and outcomes just overall, as opposed to sitting in the what if I wish I had, especially as time goes on and you get older and all of the rest of life continues to happen. You're going to feel like you're still back in that what if I did what I wanted to do, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it may be. Now, another thing to note and just, you know, keep in the back of your mind, whatever it is that you are trying to do or thinking about doing, why? What is the purpose behind it? And I think understanding that, coming up with an answer to that and understanding it, is going to be helpful in allowing you to commit one way or another, right? Or making adjustments as needed. So here's what I mean. Let's, you know, we're just going to stick with this business or professional topic or area for what we're discussing here. So some people make professional decisions, work-related decisions, business-related decisions, primarily for money, primarily for income, right? That is their main objective, to make a lot of money or make a certain amount of money. Whereas other people, their objective is to serve, right? Maybe to serve the community, serve whatever population that they're trying to serve, right? To bring something to the world. And then a third group of people, perhaps their main objective in their professional career, their professional decision making, is more about time. Maybe it's not about the money or about the work they're doing itself, but more about time. They want to work part-time, right? Because they want to do other things with the rest of their time. Or maybe they want to work full-time or more than full-time, perhaps as a means of distracting themselves from other things. Maybe they're lonely at home, right? There are various reasons why people make time-related decisions to work more or work less. I think money is a pretty obvious, right? Why do people work the way that they do? For financial reasons, because they want a certain lifestyle, or they need to, you know, pay bills, they need to make ends meet. And then the other option of, you know, wanting to serve, wanting to bring something to the people, that is, I think, also a bit self-explanatory. But, you know, maybe you have an item that will help people with cleaning, I don't know. You know, so you want to bring this new technology or this new gadget out into the world so that people can be helped with their cleaning. For me, right, I'm an OT, so I like to serve my population. I help them with maybe a pain that they're having or a trouble that they are experiencing that's decreasing their quality of life, right? So that's my purpose there. My other purpose in my business, as I mentioned, is also to connect therapists with jobs. So for me, like, you know, the money is great, but my main objective is to help others, to have an income for others, to have a job that they enjoy, to help my clients as well. And for me, time is also something that I value. I want to work for myself, but I don't want to be working 40 plus hours a week. I prefer to stay home with my kids or do my activities with my kids. So for me, those were the main reasons behind why I did what I did, right? Why I started my business. Again, I always knew I wanted to, but I really had to dig deeper into the why I am starting what I am starting. And so if it's a financial thing for you, right, maybe you don't need to start something major. Maybe you just need like an extra $50 to $100 a month. You don't need to necessarily start a whole business to do that, right? There are various ways to get that extra money without getting another headache on your hands. Yeah, maybe you can get like a per diem position or some remote work. There are a lot of different opportunities. For instance, a lot of people look for social media managers or proofreaders to read their writing and edit their writing. There are virtual assistants that are constantly or consistently, I guess, being hired. I'm seeing advertisements for that, right? There are a lot of different options nowadays, and a bunch of them are remote. And if you think maybe that's what you need, again, I love connecting people and I love helping people make money. If you want some of my advice on that, please reach out to me. I also have a couple of different sites that I use, different apps that I use that are just like quick, simple little ways to make a few extra dollars here and there. If that's something that you're interested in, I'm happy to send you a referral link to those as well. So if you do want some more information or you want to discuss potentially how you can best make a few extra dollars without, again, having to start a whole business or, you know, get a second, third, fourth, fifth job, please reach out to me. You can message me on Instagram about this at Motion Spot LLC. Again, the Motion Spot LLC handle is for our Instagram page. That's MOTIONSPOTLLC. Speaking of money, something else that I have noticed in entrepreneurship is that you need to be like pure of heart and generous yourself in order to receive that generosity back. And by that, I don't mean you have to go and buy everything from everyone, but supporting other businesses, supporting other small business owners, other people that are in your same space goes a long way. Supporting people that are in similar spaces goes a long way. A lot of people think like, oh, that's competition, I don't want to engage with them, right? But I am of the mindset that there is, you know, plenty of business to go around. And just because there is another person who does what you do, that doesn't mean that they're going to resonate with your clients the same way that you do. That doesn't mean that they're going to get the same results for your clients that you do. So I don't love thinking about competition as a bad thing, right? But I also don't harp on comparing my business to somebody else's who's doing a similar thing to me. I don't. Like, I like knowing who's out there, but I also like supporting them, you know, by commenting on posts or liking their Instagram posts or, you know, following their Instagram pages, things like that. And for people who are not doing what I do, I definitely go a step further, right? I'm not going to promote somebody's business that's a quote competition to mine. Like, if I can do the same thing, if I think I can do it better, right? I'm not going to promote them, but I will support them virtually in these little ways. But I also am very conscious of being generous and just, again, pure of heart. So what I mean by that is I've actually developed a lot of friends that have their own businesses, and I am constantly engaging in their posts. If I see that someone is looking for, you know, whatever it is that my friend might be doing that I've gotten to know and I trust their work, I'll recommend them. And I have used services from them that I've needed before, recommended them to friends, right? So I've brought business
two other businesses that are in similar or completely unrelated fields to mine. And it's kind of like, you know, it's not with an ulterior motive. It truly was with purity. And now I'm getting that good karma kind of back, because now those relationships that I've nurtured and grown, they are turning around and also helping me. They're referring me to people. They're asking me for different services that I provide, right? I have a couple of small business friends now who are clients of mine and who now refer me to other people, not only because we're friends, but because they've actually used my services and got the results that they wanted. So I also then took this mindset of generosity a step further, and not just, you know, making friends with other business owners because I think they're going to help me out too, right? Like, that's not pure of heart. But what I also did was I make sure to be a good patron, be a good client. I tip nicely. I'm always polite, or like, I was always a polite person, but now I like really make sure to show my appreciation of the different people that I might work with. So like something like a manicurist, or like a nail technician, I don't know the exact term they're used for the manicures that I get, I guess it's a technician, or the hairdresser I use, right? Things like that. That has nothing to do with occupational therapy, but they're providing me a service. And as a small business owner, I know how important it is to share when you got something that you like. So I'll post their work on my Instagrams, or I'll shout them out, I'll recommend them. I'll also make sure to tip them well, right? Things like that. I find, A, it feels good, right, to know that you showed appreciation for somebody else, because now you know that they're doing a little happy dance, right? But it also, I do think there is like a karma type of thing. Maybe it's not karma, but I don't know how to describe it, like that energy thing. Like, what you're putting out into the world, you're also then receiving. So when I put out this generosity, and you know, I'm not like holding my money tight kind of thing, I'm using it in good ways, I'm also receiving it. I'm receiving money for my services. I'm gaining clients. And I do think some of that has to do with that energy, again, that purity that I have put out. And again, there was no ulterior motive. It's really more of an understanding of this person is trying to make a living, right? So why not appreciate what they're doing for me? They did work that I liked, right? Why would I not share that with other people? It doesn't hurt me in any way to take that extra tiny step. Okay, you don't have to give a 200% tip, right? But I tip nicely now. And I make sure to, especially if I, you know, enjoyed the service. But I think, you know, I'm sure they appreciate the extra few dollars, but I really think just doing that extra little sharing on, you know, social media, or sharing with my friends, like, oh, look where I got my nails done. Like, you know, she was great. I definitely recommend you go to her. Right? That's going to build their reputation. And when somebody needs a manicure, they're maybe going to remember, oh yeah, Jackie recommended this person, or I've heard of this person before. Maybe they won't even remember that it was me who recommended, but that first seed has been planted in their head of, oh yeah, there's this, you know, good nail technician that I've heard of in my area. Maybe I'll try them out next time. I just wanted to make sure that I said all that, because I know a lot of people, when they do start a business, there is, or, you know, make any sort of career change, there is a big question of money, or that is a, you know, a big reason that people kind of hold back. And again, I'm never saying just like go spend all your money somewhere, but money is definitely a big part of people's lives. And when you start something,
you're often thinking like, okay, I need to hold on to my money, right? I don't want to invest in the business too much. I don't want to spend the money until I am making money. But I really think that you need to spend some money in order to make money. A, investing in yourself is always a good investment. Again, even if you end up changing your mind, I guarantee you're going to learn something. You're going to grow in some way. And that's why it's an investment instead of a pure expenditure, right? You're not throwing it away. You're investing money. But also then spending money, not holding on to it as if it's never coming back, right? It just feels different. The energy shift feels different. And another thought then is, you know, if you're not willing to spend money on something that you might need or want, why would other people spend money on what you're offering? Okay, and that's something that I think is very important to think about. If you are not willing to spend money, why would somebody else be? And taking that a step further then is thinking about the service or whatever it is that you're going to provide. Would you spend the money on it? Would you, or the time, right? Would you use your services? And that should also help you in setting prices, because again, money is always a thought. Even if it's not somebody's main purpose or main objective, it is always at least some part of it. I said for myself, you know, my making money is more like an added bonus, but I also can't be losing money, so I need to make sure that I'm setting prices accordingly. And I'm, you know, paying my contractors in a way that they can make money, but also I'm not losing money and I can make a few dollars too, right? So money is always going to be something that is thought of. So just keep that in mind. If you are not willing to spend money, why would somebody be willing to spend it on you? And then whatever it is that you are providing, would you spend money on that yourself? Would you use your product, your item, your service, would you pay for it at the price that it is currently offered, or, you know, the price that you are thinking to offer it for? If you would not buy your own service, why would somebody else? Also, if you would not buy your own service, how can you confidently tell people this is the price of my service? How can you have the confidence to sell something at a price that you do not even believe yourself is worth it? You would not use it yourself at that price, right? So that's very important. And price setting is always something that entrepreneurs think about, especially brand new entrepreneurs. And we often get stuck on that at that price point between, you know, what am I worth? What's my time worth? What's my knowledge worth? Versus what would people pay for it versus what is the product itself worth, right? So there are always a bunch of different factors there. I myself have gotten stuck on this as well, so I always try to keep that in the back of my mind when I am setting prices. And in fact, I think I'm going to end this episode with a little 5-minute commercial, you could say, that I created about price setting. So I'm going to add that here. I'm going to play that for you here.
Hello, this is Dr. Jackie, the host of Midweek Mom Talk. If you're a woman in business, these next 5 minutes are for you. So listen up, because we're talking about price setting for our products and services. Female entrepreneurs are always told, know your worth, know your worth, know your worth, know your worth when you're setting your price. And that's all well and good, but it doesn't actually help us set a price. Because, you know, I might think I'm worth $1 million, but that doesn't mean someone will pay me $1 million for my product or service. So then how do you set a price? In my opinion, there are 4 factors that you need to consider when picking that best number. 1, Are you being empathetic? 2, are you being realistic? 3, is it worth your time? And 4, maybe the most important one, are you comfortable with it? So let's break them down briefly. The first, are you being empathetic? When you set a price, are you thinking about your consumer? Are you putting yourself in their shoes? Does this price make sense for my ideal client? 2, are you being realistic? Is the number you set a true reflection of what your product or service is worth? Would you buy this at that price, or would you be surprised at the price? And this can be for something that's priced too high or too low, by the way. 3, is the money worth your time? This is along the lines of the know your worth comment. Being realistic in your price does not mean selling yourself short. I'm sure you have a minimum amount or a minimum range that you would say is an acceptable price, a reasonable price, and that is a good balance between affordable for the client, realistic for the product, and worth it for you, your time, your effort, your skills. And the last part, are you comfortable with it? Whatever price you set, you need to be comfortable announcing, this is the price of my product. You need to be comfortable selling at that price. And again, this can be an issue if something is priced too high or too low. If something is priced too low, it could feel embarrassing to say. You might feel the need to explain why it's so low. If it's too high, you might feel sleazy, salesy, trying to sell it, and again, feel the need to explain the price. The price shouldn't need an explanation if it's priced correctly and if you are confident and comfortable in that price. So if you are not comfortable pricing something that you think is what you are actually worth and what your product is worth, if you're not comfortable announcing that number, consider changing that number. Usually it means lowering the number. Some people will tell you you should never lower your price. Personally, I disagree. I think there are times where something is priced perhaps incorrectly, in which case lowering it makes sense. But more than that, if something is priced so high that you are not comfortable sharing this price, you're never going to be able to make those sales, to get those clients to pay a price that you yourself are not comfortable with. So these are my 4 things that I recommend you keep in mind when setting your prices. I hope that was helpful and different than the usual know your worth comment and advice. And if you have any more questions about this or other business related topics, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at MotionSpotLLC. All right, like I said, I'm not a business coach, but I do hope that my real life experiences are helpful for you, especially as you are starting out or if you are thinking about starting out in business or making any sort of professional career type change. I just want to share my story because I think it might be relevant or relatable, especially since I'm not a coach. So, you know, I'm just speaking as a regular person who is just doing the thing or, you know, trying to do the thing. All right, next week I plan to get back into our usual areas, our more typical topics of conversation, things regarding specifically to motherhood, and perhaps I'll get into women's health. I have a friend who I've been trying to get on my show. I really hope that next week is the week. She'll have a lot of great information for everybody. So if she's not, that's fine. We'll talk about other areas in motherhood.
but if she is, it'll be a really great show. So I hope you can tune in next week. Again, our shows are no longer airing on Wednesdays. They now air on Tuesdays. So please tune in on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. Again, you've been listening to Midweek Mom Talk on 360 Talk Radio for Women. I'm Dr. Jackie. Bye-bye for now.